I am not coming from 2 Kings tonight. Lord willing, I'll come from there next week. I'll go ahead and tell you what I'm looking at. I've mentioned it before, but I'll tell you again. Looking at 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and I'm also looking at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And I really was planning on doing it tonight, but in preparing for that, I was looking at other scriptures in preparation to talk about those. And my heart settled on another passage of scripture. So having said that, I'll tell you where I want to kind of park tonight. And then I want to talk coming from the 1st chapter of Deuteronomy. So if you had your heart set on 2 Kings, 3rd chapter, Lord willing, we'll get to that at another or later date. We're going to talk a little bit from the first chapter in Deuteronomy. I will pray now. And then it's a very familiar passage of scripture, I believe, for most of us. So I'll pray and then we'll get on with our lesson for tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Tonight I'm wanting to talk, and my title is I Am Not Among You. I am not among you. So as I've already said before praying, I was looking at some particular scriptures. I was looking at what's going on in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. It's talking about Moab. And I was looking at 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and Moab again is mentioned. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to read about Moab. So I went to Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter, and then after I read the 2nd chapter again, I turned and I said, well, let me look at the 1st chapter again. It's been a while since I've been here. So this is how I determined, more or less, to kind of come here tonight. When we're looking in Deuteronomy, we get a picture of the people of God after they have come through Egypt. God's blessed them mightily to cross over on dry land through the Red Sea. They've been able to witness how God defeated, let's say, the Egyptian gods that were represented through those various plagues. They watch how God took down an evil potentate, our king, Pharaoh, who was basically trying to intimidate them and to usurp the authority of God that he had given through Moses. Well, God had been working and talking to Moses. Moses gone up into the mountain and received the commandments of God. The Bible says that Moses was like a friend to God, and that God would communicate with him face to face. So the people understood that Moses had a particular relationship with God and that God was dealing with him. And as God was dealing with him, Moses would come to the people and let them know what God's desires were. Well, throughout this whole journey that they had had from Egypt, God had wanted them to go into a land. Scriptures refer to it as the promised land because God had made some promises, and the people were supposed to go to that promised land. Promised land is also known as Canaan. It was divided up into 12 tribes. So Moses is dealing with the people and begins to let the people know that God wants something. God is looking for something, and you are to do it. So I'm going to pick up around this 18th verse, and we're going to be looking from the 18th verse to somewhere around this 45th, 46th verse. I really don't even plan to read all the scriptures. It might seem like it, but I don't want to read them all. I don't want to. We get to a certain point in this 18th verse of the first chapter of Deuteronomy, and Moses speaks to the people. Listen, I have jumped, or I've started somewhat in the middle of this text. So I encourage you, if you don't like that, go back and read it, and hopefully it'll make sense. This is the 18th verse of the first chapter, Moses speaking. I command you at that time all the things which ye should do. Let me read it again. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. We look at this. Moses is saying something. I've tried to establish something that we know. God was working with Moses. Moses just wasn't saying things willy-nilly. In other words, of his own volition. When Moses was talking to the people, he was showing them the care. He was showing them concern. And he was telling them what God wanted them to know. Why? Because they weren't privy to God. But they were able to see God's miraculous works. They were able to see that cloud by day, which could help perhaps shield the sun from resting on their little skin. He was able to see the fire by night, so that as they journey and traverse through the land, that there would be a light, so that it could be like a light unto their feet. Maybe even got some warmth from it. God was with those people. So they got to see some miraculous works from God Almighty. And Moses tells them, I commanded you at that time the things that you should do. I'm telling you what God wants you to know. Some things that you should do. 20th verse. And he says again, and I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. When you look at this verse, when I look at this verse, there's some lessons in here for all of us. You might not want them, but I've read this before, but I know that there's still some things in here that is good. It's good to be rehearsed. He says, the way this is written, we can understand it. God said it's done. God said it's done. But there is a part that you must link up to. While God understands that this is done, it requires your faith. It requires your obedience. Now, some people want to stress faith. Some people want to say it is a mental activity and that our mouths can go up and down where our top lip touches the bottom lip. We call that bilabial, and they flap, 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 flutter, 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 flap. And it will produce words of obedience. I really want to be brief tonight. I want to be brief. But this is what Jesus says about people who sometimes talk. He was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes who had Moses, who had the prophets. I'm talking about the scrolls where the scriptures were written down on papyrus, or I forgot what else, maybe sheets, something else, that the word of God was recorded on. And of those people who were teachers, of those people who were supposed to be instructing the people of God, he said, these people, when they get together, they got that religious show. When they get together, they know how to quote certain scriptures. When they get together, they even have the tradition of men. They will speak so highly of Moses. But Jesus said, these people honor me. Their lips, something about their heart. He says their heart speaks louder than their lips. He says their heart is far from me. Let's go back to the text. Moses said, I'm going to tell you the things that you need to do. So when we got over there to where the Amorites was, Amorite is sort of another term that's used for the Canaanites. I tried to study at one point, when is one used, when is the other used. Let's still looking at the Canaanites. This 21st verse, Moses says, I commanded you. You knew God was using me. 21st verse, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. He said, God has given this land to us. Now he's saying to go up and possess it. But most of us who have read in the scriptures, we know that there seemed to be an obstacle. I use what we call a linking verb. Seem. I don't want to go into what a grammar lesson is or what a linking verb is. There seems to be an obstacle. There's some people over there in that land, and they are gigantic. I told you, God said, go and possess it. My title again, I didn't forget what my title is. It's I Am Not Among You. Well, he says in this 21st verse, he also says, don't be afraid, fear not. He says, neither be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. You know, I have to remember these scriptures because there's certain times when certain things, they seem to be like these big mountains. They seem to be like a whole bunch of giants around, and it seems to make the task impossible. Ever felt that way? Have you? Have you ever felt that way? Have you thought about all the scriptures that we read? Have you thought about all the messages we've heard, all the songs that we've sang, all the prayers that we've prayed, all the amens that we've said? Well, that's maybe not, because to say all means all encompassing. So let's make it. Have you thought about any of them? And you meant it when you said it. I know. But it comes a time where we have to say, what did God say? What did he say? And move on in it. Lest we'll be likened to the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. He says, don't you be afraid. Don't you be discouraged. But let me say this. If a little bit of fear, if a little bit of discouragement creeps in your heart, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Whence cometh my help. Why? Because the Bible gives us to know that our help, strength, and might comes from God. God Almighty, who made heaven and earth, said many gods. 22nd verse. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and you said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by way which we must go up. We're going to send out some, how do you call those people? Scouts. They're going to go and check this land out. We so ready to do what God says to do. We're going to go check this land out. Moses says, it sounds good to me. So the scouts went up. They chose about 12 men, and they went up. They came back. I'm down in the 25th verse now. There is a section, I think it's the last portion of this 25th verse. Listen at what they said. It is a good land. It's so good. It's a good land. God ain't lied about that. It's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. But, however, this obstacle. However, Moses says to these people, ye would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Now, it's interesting. We started out where I started with the text at the 18th verse. Someone will turn their volume down. That would be good. I don't want to be distracted. Moses says, I commanded you in the 18th verse of Deuteronomy 1. He says, I commanded you. 20th verse, he said, and I said unto you. And then he goes on and says, God said, possess it. God said, don't be discouraged. God said, don't be afraid. And you come back down here telling me how good the land is. And then you rebelled against the commandments of God. You don't rebel against my commandment. I'm the person. I said, I'm the person. Listen at what 27 says. Moses says, y'all got a little bit by yourself. You I don't know if they thought Moses wasn't around, but Moses was aware. And if God would reveal things to him, he didn't have to be right there with him. He says, you murmured. You went to your little homes, your little castles, your little tents, and you murmured. You started lying on God. He said, God hates us. This is a situation that we didn't expect. This is a situation that we can't even overcome. No, you can't overcome it. This is me talking right now. We can't overcome anything by ourselves when it comes to spiritual warfare. Satan will whip us like a little wet dog that should have been stepped on 5 years ago. He said, you don't talk about stepping on the dog. I'm trying to make a point. They lied on God. Because, listen at 27. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us up forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. They're saying God wants us to be destroyed. Now, have you read Exodus? Do you see that? Do you see it? Moses gave them a promise. I can't remember if it's Deuteronomy. I might be getting this wrong. I think it's Deuteronomy 18 and 15. If it's not, it's 15 and 18. And Moses told him, he says, you know what? God's going to bring a prophet. He's going to be a little bit, he's going to be like me, but he was prophesying of Jesus Christ, the Messiah that would come. And he was warning them, future generations that would come. But I want to even go into, I mentioned it, but I don't want to go and park there because sometimes I know when I'm talking, I think it's necessary, but I'm not going to go there tonight. And my point is they lied on God. I got distressed. Moses said, you knew that I was telling you what you should do. It was incumbent upon you to obey God, but you lacked the faith. And it's almost like you didn't try. You let your heart take over. I know what Hebrews 4 and 1 says. Hebrews 1 and 4, and Hebrews the 4th chapter, 1st and the 2nd verse, it talks a little bit about their unbelief. I'm not even going to turn to it. I don't quote as well as I did with certain scriptures that I tried to memorize, but I can tell you what the context is. Hebrews the 4th chapter, 1st and the 2nd verse, it said that basically when they came out of the wilderness, because there was a gospel that was preached unto them, there was doctrine given unto them, there was God's commandments given to those people, but they had hardened their heart. Read the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. And God said, through whoever wrote Hebrews, Paul or whoever it was, he said, because they did not mix faith with the gospel and the message that they had heard, that I don't want to go there, that they lost it. Go and read it. You can fix the word. I'm back in the text. Moses told them that they were murmuring and complaining, and they lied on God. And said, how are we going to go up? Their hearts say, these people are greater than we are. They're taller than we are. The cities are greater. The cities are walled way up. We can't even penetrate these cities. And you're telling us to go up? God, this is impossible. Have you ever felt like that? Yes. It's always time to stand up in the word of God. But here's something that's important. If you're not in the word of God, you can't stand up in it. If the word of God is not in you, you can't stand up in it. Quit pretending. If you're not in the word of God, and the word of God in you, you cannot stand up in it. Remembering things from Sunday school, that's good. Remembering things from mom and grandma, that's from the word of God, that's good. But we are not to just sit on that. We are to feast on the word of God. Did you hear the selection? The word that I chose, feast on it. A feast is something that you want to partake of. Think about maybe the closest we come to a feast. Let's say thanks, dadgum giving. Well, you've got 4 or 5 different kinds of meat. Some people not fortunate enough to do that. But we have experienced ham, turkey, some food that's not so good for you, pig's feet, some roast beef, and you got rolls, and you got cornbread, you got green beans, and you got collards, and you got candy yam, and you got macaroni and cheese, and you just got, choose from it. I don't want that, but I want this. I don't want that. Sit down and feast your little self till you fat and plump. We won't feast. What's gonna keep us? Anyway. I said, I told you. Now, just for a little bit, even though we're very familiar with it, I'm gonna turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter, really quickly. I'm gonna start at the 28th verse. Because it's the same context. And I'm about halfway done. At least I plan to be. Numbers 13 chapter, looking at the 28th verse. Listen at this. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. It's the land of the Amorites. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak near. Did you see them people? They about twice my height, three times my height. I don't know. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountain, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What is Caleb talking about? Smack that dude in the mouth. Caleb, shut up. Impossible. Every time somebody says something, you raise your hand trying to be first. Shut up! Caleb said, I don't know what God said. Isn't that this 31st verse? But the men that went up with Caleb said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. Listen at this. This is where God really gets just indignant. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come up of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Now, you can read the rest of it. I ain't trying to talk about how tall giants were or anything like that. I'm going back now to Deuteronomy, the first chapter, in the 18th verse. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And I said unto you, I'm at the 20th verse again of Deuteronomy 1. Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Reality is God gives us decisions to make, but he tells us who he is and in his power what we're able to do. And if the word is in us, and even if there's a little bit of spirit, Timothy had to hear that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We have to trust in God. Now, the Bible said that was an evil report. And I said, that's when God, he got upset. But you see, it's an evil report. In other words, you're contradicting what I said. It's like, I might not be right on this exactly, but when Job started complaining, God's like, Job, let me ask you a few questions. Where were you? Job, did I ask you? No, okay, I'm going to talk about that. Did I ask you how to make a rock? Job, did I seek your counsel when I was figuring out, and I didn't figure it out, I just determined it, how the water was going to stop at the edge of the bank? Job, do you understand what I'm asking you? Job, do you understand me? Huh? You weren't there. No, you can't. You understand just a little bit. You was not there. You were not there. You ain't been there. Can you understand all those ways I said it? You were not there, Job. So it was an evil report, and it highly upset and displeased God. Now listen to this 29th verse. It says, then I said unto you, this is Moses, dread not, neither be afraid of them. He's reminding them again. Listen, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. People want to see so much. and it doesn't matter. Let me say it again. I meant it how I said it. People want God to do so many miracles, and it doesn't matter. What about all the miracles that he did for them? What about all the miracles that he's done for us? Quit asking for miracles and ask God for his word and his strength. You get a miracle every time you ask for one, you become the master. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And God don't work like that. Since when has an axe told the axe handler what to do? Since when did the earthen vessel or the clay pot tell the potter what to do? Lord God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee. It was God that bare you. Listen to this. It's so pretty right here. God held you up just like a man. I'll say this, a father who really loves his son. I'm not talking about somebody that said, call me father. No, I'm there for you. I'm watching you. I'm teaching you. I'm training you. You're actually in my shadow. Do you know you're in my shadow? You can't even see the shadow because I'm bigger than you. You can't even see it, but you know I'm there. God was with you to take care of you. What has God brought you through? What are you taking for granted right now? But I'm not among you is my title, and I'm getting to it. I am not among you. Fourth verse, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you were in your tent murmuring and complaining. He was mad. He was angry. You say God doesn't have the right to get angry. Really? God has determined what truth is. God has determined what justice is. He deals with it, because if he didn't, he would be unjust. People want to talk about ethics and morals and all of these things. They borrow from God. It's the laws of the land that have been corrupted. Because man is greedy. Man will take the gold from you. He will take the silver from you. He will take your breath from you. He will take your bones from you. He will take your wife from you. He will take your children from you. He will take your house from you. He will take your privacy from you, and you'll think you in there by yourself talking, and he'll take your privacy from you. He'll take your name from you. He'll take your history from you. All those things. Lord, heard them murmuring and complaining. He was angry. Listen at verse 35. Surely there shall not come one of these men of this evil generation. See that, maybe I'm reading it wrong. Let me start over. I'll start and get it right. Surely there shall not come one of these men of this evil generation. See that good land. Maybe I missed the word because I write in my Bible.
Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land.
What's the rest of it say?
Which I swear to give unto your father.
I done told you I was going to give it to you. Now let's look at the problem here. Sometimes we learn 1 + 1 = 2. There's a 1 + 1 here. One, God gave his commandment. The other one was supposed to be, now you do it. God is concerned with the fact that we might be fearful. But it doesn't mean that we change it. It doesn't mean we lie on God. You say, God, I'm afraid. God, I need your strength. God, help me remember your word. God, cleanse my heart. God, do this. But don't say God brought us up here to kill us because he wants the Moabs to kill us. Now, there's a problem that's being taught in part of what we call the church sometimes. They will say that you cannot live a life of power.
Tell you it's all right to continue fornicating. Tell you it's all right to continue hating. Tell you it's all right just to ask forgiveness. And it's, in other words, don't you concern yourself with what God said about lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset you. Then tell you not to worry about Paul saying, don't you take your body, which is a member of Christ, and make it a harlot. They will tell you not to think about when the Bible says effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will tell you to disregard all those things. Yes, they will.
We have weak people. But that's not the true gospel. The weak gospel. And I know what Paul said. I think it's in Galatians 1 and 6, and he might repeat it in 7 or 8. He says something like this. I marvel. It's a different text. Paul was trying to get them to understand something about how the Jews and the Gentiles with God's word in Christ were to come together. There was to be no dissimulation. So he says, I marvel. I'm so astonished that this gospel that I've been giving to you, I've been preaching to you, that I've been writing about, you are removed. How is it that you're removed from this gospel? Tell you what, if anybody or even an angel, a celestial being that some of you all believe in, that some of you believe has more power than God, and they don't, let him be a nasty, let him be a curse. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's go back to the point. Moses says, I've been giving you God's word. You tell me what to do. And you lied on God, and then you said it couldn't be done. That's another lie. Caleb has said we can do it. Now listen at this. We're coming to very near the end of my message. I really just wanted to talk. So how about the interspersing of my calming down and talking? He's already said that some of you are not going to go because of your unbelief. They enter not in because of unbelief. I think that's Hebrews 4, somewhere around 2. Come back to me. Listen at what it says in verse 40. Deuteronomy, first chapter, 40th verse. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. You see, in verse 19, they had come from the wilderness. Listen at 1 and 19, Deuteronomy. And when you departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain, so forth. And now he's told them to go and possess this land. They were afraid. And now he says, well, since you're not going to do it, I'm wroth, I'm angry. Just turn around. Just turn around. Listen at it. But as for you, talking to the people, would not believe, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Watch what happens after this. Verse 41 and 42. Then he answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. These are the right things to say. But see, when God has spoken, you better listen. Doesn't mean he's totally thrown you away. God works with these people through generations and generations and generations and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. And he's still trying to work with us. Those are the children of Abraham, the father of faith. Look at Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 4. Yeah, it is. Then when God said, turn and go, just go back. He answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. When ye girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up the hill. But listen, okay, so I'm not telling you this is totally every situation, but there's a little addendum to this because I'm just about through here. God told him in verse 43, Moses says, just don't do it. Don't do it. Just listen. You didn't listen to me before. Listen to me now. And then you said, well, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm ready. Gotcha. See, verse 42. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you. We don't have the word of God in us, and us in the word. And I'm going to pull in. We had a beautiful message on Saturday. It was about fasting and prayer to have the power of God and being faithless. I don't know what it's going to be put up. It might be on YouTube. I don't know. When you're not in the Word of God and in prayer and seeking His face, sometime we'll be operating. We think that we're honoring God and we think we have His power. But God goes beyond show. He goes beyond words. This is God. Really? Really? Adam and Eve put on fig leaves. Can I say it again? Really? Really? Job complained. Really? Really? Eli, he didn't do right by God with his children. Really? Nadab and Abihu, they're going to do what they want to do. Really? I think we can do what we want to. God said, I told you not to go up when I told you to. Listen, now I'm hot. Do not think that God is just love. He is love, and He's justice, and He's judge. He's all of those things, and we should not presume upon God. So when you think you're operating in God's strength, check yourself by the measure. Check yourself by the read. Check yourself by His word. That's for me. That's for you. That's for the whole world, even those who will reject Him. So I spake unto you, would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up the hill. It is not funny, but I chuckle. Somebody told me years ago I was too young to chuckle. That was about 10 years ago. I was in my 30s. I chuckled then, and I chuckle now. Rebel the first time when I told you to go, and then I told you not to go, and you did the opposite. You rebel. You're not listening to me. I told you not to go. And so they're going to get their tail whipped. God does that in His judgment. You might have been spared a little bit getting a tail whipping, but God knows how to deal with this. Listen at verse 44. And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And destroyed you in Seir, even unto Horma. He got destroyed. Wonder how many of them lost their lives. That's where I'm ending in this particular text tonight. Let me see what time it is. A little shorter than normal. Here's the addendum. If you'll bear with me, we've got another 2 minutes, 3 minutes. See if you can recognize where this is from. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength. It's a little different, but there's a point I'm hoping, at least I saw. God had told those people what to do. They didn't do it. And then he told them something else to do. They didn't obey. Samson was given information, direction, commandments as a Nazarite with his Nazarite vow. He was playing with God. People were playing with God. So sometimes you may not lie on God, like saying he brought us to whatever, but there's still a lie that's implied. There's a lie that we said we can't do it. We can't do it, but when the Holy Spirit is in us, we can do it. Through his power, through his spirit. It may be hard. Paul said, yea, and all that live godly is going to suffer persecution. Read Hebrews 11. Read Hebrews 12. Lord have mercy. Listen, I'm in Judges 16 chapter. That was the 18th verse and 19th verse. I want to read 2 more verses before I stop. 20th verse. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before. and shook myself, and he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Simpson had done some things. Like, I can do this. I'm Samson. I know what God said, but I'm Samson. And they overtook him. And we'll be overtaken if we're not serious with the Lord and seeking his faith and his word, rehearsing his commandments, living by his commandments. I said two verses. Verse 28 of Judges 16. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me read some more. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. Let me say, it was all his might. He emptied himself. This is the might of God. This is the power of God. You see, he prayed. And the house of wickedness fell upon the lords, upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That's why I'm talking tonight. I'm not with you. I told you what to do. Yeah, it can be difficult. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. But we have to be in his word. Let's not presume upon him, but take him lightly. I don't know if we'll return to, my desire is to go back to 2 Kings, but when next week, I kind of want to do both of those chapters, but that's a lot of verses, so I may do a summary, if you will, of one, to really get to another, because I just find them interesting, those two. But anyway, my title for tonight was, I'm not with you. I think that's when I changed the page that I had written. What was that? I'm not among you. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us time to be in your word. We ask that your word be its word, be your word, be what it's supposed to be. And give us strength, Lord. We need you. We need you more than we realize. The evil spirits are in. We don't even have a clue. Don't have a clue. It's wicked, demonic world that's thick with spirits that would just tear us up. You tell us to have an arm of God. Help us to pray for one another, to love one another, and to love you more than anything else. Strengthen us where we are weak. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit, as John said, increase in us, and we find ourselves decreasing. Help us to grow day by day. I ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. We are open for discussion, if there's going to be any, on this evening. Hello. This might be one where it's like little talking, and that's fine too. Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody? Can you hear Tim?
Huh? Yes, sir.
Can you hear Tim?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that God would have been wrong to kill them if he hadn't told them not to go back up to Ai? Not the AI, but to go back into the promised land after they didn't listen?
No.
Why not?
Because he's God.
But if he tells them and he warns them, is he doing it superfluously or is he doing it because that's a requisite?
So let me make sure I understand what you mean by when you say superfluously, just willy-nilly, like, is that what you mean?
For instance, the presupposition that we hold is that if God didn't tell them, he would still be right. But is that what he's showing when we look at the way it was enacted? So I believe that there's things that he teaches by what he does as well as what he says. And if he doesn't say that, if I don't tell you when you disobey me, that I'll get you, shall I be able to look at what he did and say, this has got to be this way, or it was just this way this time? let me just give you the other one. Do you remember when the men went up to AI and they had done wrong? They had dirt, unbelief in the camp because Achan had stolen.
I do remember that.
And 36 men got slaughtered. That may not be an equal parallel. And I'm not even saying you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe it's valid to look at what he did, and that's what he restricted himself to. And it may be different because in the case where one man did something, it wasn't the whole camp doing it. I don't know, but I was just asking, is this something that if God had just done it and killed him, would he have been wrong? And you said no, because he's God. And I accept that if he had chosen to do it that way. But since he didn't, is it saying that I need to tell you before I kill you?
I think I hear perhaps, and I'm really wanting to hear what she says, but I want to commit. So I'm not saying I won't commit. I think God does show us in the scripture that he'll teach by different things that he does, but we can't always determine when he's going to do it. And so I was reminded of a particular passage, and it sort of escapes me at the moment. I wish it didn't. So if God, the hypothetical, if he had killed them, no, I don't think he would have been wrong. I know he was going to kill them when Moses intervened for him, and Moses said, "But they come brought him up out of Egypt," then they'll be like, "He just brought him up out of Egypt," and he, you know, and so forth like that. And so it's like he determined not to to destroy them at that point, and that might not even be the best one. But if God determines that he won't do that, fine. But to say that it's going to be that way all the time, no, I don't say that. So I think it can be both. And I don't even know if I'm answering your question sufficiently. So that's how I'll answer for now. I'm thinking I understand you. Anyone else can speak on that. This is discussion, class discussion. We still connected?
We are.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for other people to just really chime in and give me what they have, because do you want some more information?
Yeah,
I've never taught this before, but I probably will make a video on it. Mm-hmm. That is the equivalent to me. The one in AI is the equivalent of Ananias and Sapphira when what we call the church first started.
Okay,
I ain't playing with y'all. I ain't playing. I need you to know I'm holy. And they both had something to do with deceit. They both were trying to look like they were doing right and righteousness. And they both seemed like they would kill. Well, it just seemed like folk would kill without warning. Mm-hmm. In this case, 36 other people died without warning. And okay. Then Achan, I don't think he knew he was going to be killed. But because that wasn't the penalty normally for stealing.
Mm-hmm.
It's retribution. But you did more, and you caused other people to die. You caused a death as well. Well, in this case, those people that went up there, did he have to give them a warning? Because once you see he gave them a warning and they went, it's just even more egregious that they went.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in light of the other passages of scripture, you know, to look at God, I want to say his heaviness. I don't remember what word you used years ago, if it was code or kabod, or if that, I might be way off.
Yeah, like kabod is heaviness, his glory.
Okay. Wait,
like gold. Just think of kabod like you want the heaviest, purest gold you can. You don't, like, you don't want no lightweight gold. It's not going to weigh much.
Mm-hmm. So with that, I mean, I think there was sufficient warning in what he told them that he wanted to do. So if you say, well, when he did that, he was looking at things that would become somewhat habitual or repetitious in their life. Because if you look in Leviticus 26, he says, you do this seven times, then if you do this, and he would like say, okay, and then this, and then this, and then that. So, I think I understand better your question. And at first, I have a question, I guess, before I even try to continue. So when you're looking at the death, because you brought in the death of Achan and those other people, so you're looking at the ones who will not go over there and who's going to die, because I didn't really read all that about the generations, the little ones who would go in. So are you kind of looking at those who died right there as part of your question?
I'm only looking at the ones that went up there and got slaughtered. Mm-hmm. I think if they, when he told them to go back, if they'd gone up there anyway without Moses warning them, I still believe they'd have been killed. But once he told them not, if he hadn't have told them, am I wrong for thinking they'd be killed anyway?
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. So let me, I want to be specific. So when you say if he had not told them, I have turned to 2 Chronicles 20. I didn't mean to. Let me go back and find where I am. All right. So the part where he says, okay, this is Deuteronomy 1, verse 40. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Are you referring to that right there when he says, don't go?
Yes. Did he have to warn him? Moses said, don't go. Now, he didn't say, if you go, I'm going to kill you. But he said, don't go. He ain't with you. The only reason you would have ever had a victory is that he was with you. But you rejected when Joshua and Caleb said he wasn't with you. Y'all not the ones he's with, then.
I don't think he had to go further and tell them. I mean, he was telling them what to do. They didn't listen. I don't think you're wrong for thinking that. I don't.
But all that originated from the question is, did he have to warn them, or is just what he did? Some things that God does, you know that this is what he has to do.
Gracious. That's what I was thinking, and exactly. He was gracious.
That was gracious, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So,
and let me carry with this. Here's the thing, if you want another one to think in it, they already had they had two death penalties already on them.
Could you elaborate, please?
Elaborate.
Well, you're a son of Adam, right?
Yes.
That's a death penalty, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're part of those that didn't want to go in the first time, right?
Yes.
You were told to go die in the wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had death penalties, and that wasn't enough. So they actually exacerbated it. They, at least they, you know, it's like they would have had, they could have been some of those that lasted 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but you couldn't wait.
And the 36
was part of the
word that was
going to die. Yeah. Because it wasn't Joshua and Caleb. So when people say you can't go before your time, is that really the key? See, there are times you can really, you can hasten your death. You were going to die. You had a certain time limit. You had within 40 years, you were going to die. One day for each year.
Every day.
But you added sin to sin, iniquity to iniquity. You became overmuch wicked, and you died early. Mm. You can't tell me they had to die before then and make me believe it. Unless you're going to tell me God made them do it.
So you answer your question.
My wife did. She's so pretty. And that... Well, Gary, it's always good to see that the lack of believing in God has serious consequences. It had consequences for that whole family. The family of Abraham, the family of every one of those leaders. You see, because you could have came home and got your family prepared before you died, but you forfeited that. Yeah. It's serious consequences. Just like you can delay God's blessing like they did, it looked like you can hasten his judgment.
I used to not... think that way, but I know it was several months ago, maybe some point, I think it was last year, and I said, and you was like, no, and you started bringing up examples, and I was like, okay, didn't think about that, so.
That's a good one for you. You're not all, you have to be granted repentance.
Yes.
Because
thank you!
Because they repented, and it wasn't accepted.
Write that down. Because I need folks to understand you can't always return to God and always what they call recover with the locusts of Eden. Sometimes God say no, you can't.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna let you repent and get it because I'm through with you.
I had written at the end of this Esau, and then put a little question there. Not exactly the same, but looking at a realization of something that's lost, you know, in that vein. So, yeah.
I pray to God you'll never do anything like that because I love you. And I would just hate for God to say, stop praying for your brother. It would rip me apart. Think about that now.
Likewise, somebody brother. Likewise.
Yes, yes. Let's go deeper than me.
Okay.
Josiah. Let's take Josiah.
Oh, Lord.
Or Naomi. Girls have a wormhole in a man's heart if they really love their children. Boys have that thing like, he's going to be me, but that girl, it's like we feel like they're defenseless. And you know that Naomi had lived such and such a way and did such and such, and God said, quit praying for her. Quit. Don't pray for her. I have rejected her.
That hurts.
Is there anything you could think of more painful?
What'd you say?
Yes. You need to think about how painful that would be to know God say, no. Because if you keep praying that you're fighting against me and you're going to get a consequence. Stop it. Well, I think that's how Moses must have felt at that time. Y'all rejected. Don't go up. There's no prayer that I can do for you. There is no prayer. If I fall on my face, he might kill you before you get up the hill. That's the wisdom I'm praying for right there, Gary. To know when God say enough is enough. That I go past his judgment. I made you quiet, but I didn't mean to.
I'm just listening. I mean, you said one of my children. I mean, I felt that like it was almost like tomorrow. I mean, it felt like a hole in my heart. I don't want that.
But that's sometimes the best way for us to feel certain things is to really look at it as egregious as it is. To Moses, these are my children. Did I birth these people? You gave me this load. I brought them all the way from a place where they don't even have a home yet. Remember that song, I'm just a lonely frog and I ain't got a home? These people don't have where to lay their head, and you promised them houses and things. All they got to do is listen to me as I listen to you. You gave them to me. I'm their spiritual daddy. On this earth, Abraham is no longer on this earth. The other patriarch, it's me now. And I'm trying to rule this house like God wants me to as a servant. And if Moses felt enough about it when God was getting ready to wipe him out, he said, "Blot my name out of your book." And God said, "You're not able to make the sacrifice. You got sin in you. You can't be offered as a sacrifice to them." But he had that heart. "Blot my name out of your book." You know, it's like, I'm going to try to hardball bargain you. It's like, no, you ain't got that kind of power. And when you start talking about who God won't let repent, if that was your child, how hard would it be to not pray if God has told you not to? They rejected. But that's the wisdom we need as people that are going to be fellow workers with God and with Christ. Yes, a lot of times we may be praying against God's will. We'll think nobody is rejected. Or we'll think people that are rejected and they not yet. Because I don't know why you let Manasseh have 52 years. At least 50. There are some kings you didn't get that long. You cut him off. I just need to, just as I continually look through the Bible, just look through different kind of sins and see what kind of consequence. Dr. Bronson said you can tell how God feel about us, about certain sins, by the penalty that he prescribes. For instance, you might think, well, just blaspheme his name. That's just talking with your mouth. But he said that's the death penalty. You would think if you stole somebody, you might think if you stole some woman's last bill and she got sick, death penalty, but did she die? No. Remuneration, pay to get her restored, huh? Money or whatever source of income was, but blasphemy, you put them to death. These people didn't listen, you got the death penalty. Obviously, there's something more than you just listen. I got to go back and figure out what other things did they violate. Did you was that a form of blasphemy with your life? Mm. You call me a liar? Mm-hmm. It's like you've done something.
You're still talking about them going up and trying to fight and them losing their life.
Yes, because there are certain penalties that he prescribed the death penalty for.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you what they did fit into one of those categories.
It just looked like they were stupid, too.
Gary, give me the list of your scriptures so that Ann could put them on her postponing only a message that people listen to. Oh, by the way, a lot of people seem like they listen to you too.
Okay.
So don't ever get in your mind it's just us in half step, okay?
You know what? I just want to be faithful with whatever you tell me to say.
No, didn't he do it in?
No. I'm just, no, what I mean is if they listen, they listen. If they don't, they don't. Because I know, like, when I was teaching or preaching, I'm like, okay, I got to hear it too. Because, you know, I'm like, I'm praying, right? And I'm, James 3 comes to my mind. Romans 2 comes to my mind. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But I'm like, it's time to speak. So, it's time to speak. But let's see. I was in Deuteronomy, the first chapter. I started at verse 18 and hit up through about, I guess it was 43, and I lost my place again. Somewhere around 43. So Deuteronomy 1 through 18 through about 43. And I went to Numbers 13. I don't remember what verse it was. What's that, Dre? 28.
They can read it all of it.
Okay, yeah. That's true. The names, too. They can read it. And then I refer to Hebrews 4, first two verses. And the last three verses. Okay, the last two or three verses, chapter 3, I referred to Galatians 1, I think, in 6. And then I ended up in Judges 16. And I can read all of that, too, I guess. But I don't remember what verses it was.
He alluded to Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4.
Yeah. So. Judges 16. I think I was around 18, 19, 20, and then I skipped over to somewhere. I think it was maybe a 40 something. Yeah. I'll find it just a second. Oh, I read it in another Bible. No wonder, because I was like, I thought I had it on.
That's good enough, Gary. Okay. I mean, you're giving me Judges 16, right?
Yeah, it's Judges 16, 18 through 20. And then verse 28
okay. through 30. Okay. Hey, yes, Gary, the message is up. It's been on Facebook. It's on YouTube as well.
Okay, I look for it through YouTube because I've been looking on the podcast. I don't have Facebook, but I can. Go look on YouTube because I was like, I want to hear that again. So it's very encouraging. So, all right. Well, if there are no further discussions or questions or comments.
I guess this is the only thing that came to my mind, and that was, you know, the saying that familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
And I want to say that being unfamiliar breeds presumption. And there were times when you know, like they were coming out and they didn't even know his name. You know, like when they came out of Egypt. He said, well, they're going to ask me, you know, they're going to ask me your name. And he told them, but their fathers didn't know me by that name. And there were a lot of things they didn't know. And so, you know, God placing Moses in a position because he's dealt with Moses at least for 40, at the most 40 years, right?
Right.
As he was gone, he left for 40 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how he would deal with him when he was with another place, but I'll grant
right. Him. So, okay. Well, I'll say for 40.
I'll grant from the time he left.
Yeah. So, you know, so then you have this person who is familiar with him, who has learned by his own experience with him that he will kill you. Don't do what he says. He'll do it because he almost killed me one time.
Wait, you got to say it again. I'm rewinding it. Okay, okay, play.
Right. So, you know, you got this person who has been with him, is, you know, pretty much has walked with him during this time. And, you know, and I know him and I know his precepts. And I, you know, and then you get this group of people and you're trying to tell them you don't know him like that. You cannot do this. You cannot presume upon his goodness. You cannot do that. You cannot say that, okay, well, I know him well enough that I could do this and, you know, nothing will happen to me. He's holy. And when you start telling people he's holy, they want to go back and say, well, you know, that's not the God I serve. Yeah. You know, and they want to presume upon, you know, as little knowledge as they have. They want to presume upon that, and they want to look at the person who's really trying to tell them, listen, I know him, and this is not my cause, it's his. Do you remember when I set the boughs around the mountain, and he said, that go back down there and check? I said, go back down there and check, because I will break forth on them.
Yeah.
And so,
that's the term I need to say when people talk about their breakthrough. I say you need to be worried about the break forth,
yeah. So and not being able to see that, and they you presume, and I think to a great extent, a lot of us presume upon his goodness.
Makes us perverts.
You know, just waking up and just being able to go to work,
yes,
and just being able to drive a car.
Blinking.
You know. Yeah, it's
look,
breathing.
Look, to drive up on the bridge to go home.
Yes.
And you don't realize your head about to drop down as you pass out.
So, you know, and you see a lot of people who know very little about God, but they're gonna argue with you so hard, and you coming straight out of the book. And they're going to say, he's not like that. He's not like that. That's not the God I serve. And they refuse to hear because they've already set up in their mind an idol. And they're not going to go any further than that. I'm going to keep my idol. I really don't care. You know, and it's like, I'm not willing to grow and to know more. It doesn't take all of that. So, you know, being unfamiliar also, it breeds presumption. Because you think you know enough for what, and then when you have somebody who is more familiar and they urge you and they are prompting you and saying, this is of the Lord, these are not my words, if you praying for other people, what glory do I get out of that? If you going into the word and you studying more and your life is better, what glory do I get out of that? It's for the glory of God. And so that's what I thought about.
Andrina, write this down for me, please. I want you to write.
You still there, Gary?
I'm here.
You okay. Can hear it. It's not wicked. write this down. When pastors presume upon God, mm-hmm, and take that which is holy and defile it, they can cause their people to die. I'll develop that into a video, and I'll tell you what I mean. God told us don't eat with somebody that's a fornicator, reviler, or whatever. And I keep seeing all these pastors that are doing it, and they probably go and have these big banquets and eat with the people, and you don't want to have the accursed thing. You don't need to be going up doing that which is holy like they. You ain't supposed to be going up trying to do the Lord's battle. You're not. You're not ready. And you're going to cause defeat for people because we see the pattern. We see the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And because we see the pattern, and because we know how God is, there is some kind of equivalent for us today when pastors are cheating on their wives, having sex with men in the church, or pedophile, well, catechizing or pederasting the children, stealing from the church? Why is it that it mattered that much then when just the leaders, it wasn't the pastors, that they blatantly going against God? We can go, it ain't a big sin to go against his word. They call him a liar, and they say, well, all right, well, we'll go on our term, on our time. No, you ain't. I'll say it in the hardest way possible. No, hell, you ain't. Oh, no, hell, because you all went to Sheol, hell, that day. You went to hell that day. When you start doing God like that, hell's calling your name. It already had called it and had a 40-year wait to get all of you, and you said, I'm coming now. I can't wait. You think it's Christmas, don't you? And I need to deal with that, because those leaders are the ones that cause the people to lose, cause them to err, and it caused a famine in the daggum land. And we got one now. That's one thing Deacon Williams used to say. I don't know where he got the scripture. I know in the Bible where he got it. I don't know why he said it. Maybe he saw it. But daggum it, you didn't think it could get worse. It's worse than, and people still eating. But they're not eating nutrition. When you're not eating what's nutritious, you can still die from lack of ripe flavor and all of the vitamins and nutrients that you need. And it's like you feeding the people paper. We are not made to digest paper. Mm. We're not made to digest the words of charlatans. And that's what that's some people's full spiritual diet. I'm through talking.
I appreciate the comments, and we'll see if I can listen to that message again from Saturday very soon, Lord willing. So, I have not heard anything about Jane. Have you all heard anything?
No, sir. And I contacted Barry today. I hadn't, but Mama might let us know. She's such a wonderful person.
She's back in the hospital. You hear me?
We heard you say she's back in the hospital.
Yeah, she's back in the hospital. We called the ambulance last night. They came and got her. Ruby thought she was having a heart attack, and she thought she was too. But she's doing better, but she's still in the hospital.
Yes, ma'am.
We are praying for her. I am not being a pervert. I am praying. I am not being faithless. I am praying.
I think we all are.
And I'm praying for every one of us. And like I said, I'm not willing to give my family up. And the Lord be able to look me in the face and you didn't care enough. And I'd have to say I didn't. But I do now. And that sometimes it can make you angrier, but it can also make you mourn more. It's not, I don't think it's good for your family members or you to pray for them and they walk around arrogantly, because somewhere along the line, because I'm going to pray God get your butt. I'm going to ask God to wound. So that's what he's saying in Hosea. I have torn, I have smitten, so that I could wound and so I could heal. Whatever it take, Lord. Then that thing that taught me said you better off with one hand, one foot, and one eye enter into life.
Yeah.
I pray that God it don't get that way, but I know for myself that's what I would pray.
We need to be praying also for Granddaddy and Grandmama. So
okay.
You were supposed to have surgery today, but she went into she couldn't. But that way she couldn't. So it's been postponed. I'm thinking until next week. So let's keep them in our prayers too. So, all right. Well, thank you all for calling in, and Lord willing, connect back up on Thursday evening. Good yes, night, sir. Everybody. We love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.